This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of Al Hussein Foundation's podcast. I am your host, Brother Ahmed Danoon. On today's podcast, we'll be talking about raising children in Islam. We have a few topics to cover, such as balancing faith and culture, parent and child communication, challenges in the modern parenting, as well as parenting throughout adolescence. Sorry, that was a bit of a tongue twister on my part. I have two esteemed special guests with me today. Joining me locally in the studio is my brother Abu Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. How's everything? Long time no see, my brother.
Yeah, it's only been about few minutes, so it's pretty good, inshallah. We have another special guest joining us all the way from Texas. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yusha Evans, how are you?
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are all good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Now, the last time I asked you how's the weather there, it kind of got a bit awkward, so I'm not going to ask you that.
No, we'll just leave the weather alone. The weather's getting decent right now. And if you mention it, it will go very bad.
So I think we should just skip that part. Inshallah ta'ala.
We still need some rain though. It hasn't rained in almost four, now we're going on 4 months.
Subhanallah.
I think it's a bit like Australia, but in the opposite effect. In summer we get the rain more than we have in winter. So yeah, it's weird, subhanAllah.
We have to just be careful. Like when people move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what happens. You know, he starts to withhold. You know, the rain makes more heat, the sun, you know, the high temperatures and stuff like this. So we have to be very careful of moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a norm in this day and age, unfortunately.
SubhanAllah. With regard to today's topic, core parenting principles with our children, such as balancing love, discipline, and teaching values. I know, Allahumma barik, Abu Ahmed, you have five children of your own and two grandchildren, mashallah, Allahumma barik. And Brother Yusha, you have, I believe, three children of your own?
Three and no grandchildren yet.
But you have a parrot. So that plays a massive part as well.
I have two parrots. Two so parrots. I basically have two perpetual grandchildren.
So I guess it almost works the same, I'd say. So my question, and if you want, I could start off with yourself, Abu Ahmed. What are some of the core parenting principles that you would try to instill from, you know, infancy of your children? For them to take as they actually grow and you nurture them as they get older.
And if we want to go back to a step further than that, how do we actually parent as individuals? How your parents brought you up, naturally, this becomes your second nature, how you bring up your children. Wrong, right, this is a problem, and that's where you have to sort of look within yourself. What are the wrong aspects of how we were brought up and not to instill that into your children, yeah? So into your day-to-day lives, and that's a big, big problem. So generally, as every Muslim will say, the first thing we're going to be doing is what? We have to look at Islam. What are the Islamic things that we have to nurture them with, bring them up with? You know, as we know that we have to start teaching our children at what age to start praying? Age seven. Yeah, then at 10, we have to sort of, you know, encourage them a bit more. So there's a lot of Islamic things that we have to put into that. But one thing which is the harder point is this love and nurture. This is a problem again, because if you weren't nurtured as a child, you find it difficult to show certain aspects. You know what I mean? Allahumma barik, when I was in Texas with Yusha, he was very loving with his daughter. Like when he would go out and all this, you know, always, you know, caressing her, holding her, you know what I mean? Holding her hand, doing these things that show the love from a father to daughter, which is amazing, Allahumma barik. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep that bond between you strong. You know what I mean? Other people may feel that, like, you know, it's a bit awkward for them. So even like, you know, we talk about having, you know, courses for marriage, before you get married, to make sure everything goes nice and rosy for that marriage. But also we should have courses in terms of how we actually bring up our children. What do we do? What are the wrong things within me? And everyone is different. Ahmed, you have certain amazing qualities, but you might have some weaknesses in certain points. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And as a father of two daughters as well, you can feel that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So there's many, many aspects in terms of, like, that's a very, very broad question. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, looking at the upbringing, we grew up, I'd say, in a multicultural area, regardless of...
You did.
Okay, I did. Yeah. You grew up in a, you'd say, what we would call it in these days, this or back then, an Anglo-Saxon sort of area, an Australian predominant area. Not much multiculturalism there. I'd say it's something similar to what Brother Yusha was raised with as well, correct me if I'm wrong, because obviously you're a revert to Islam, so you grew up with core values with, you know,
non-Muslims
and other things. You know, you obviously instilled that into your children as well.
I was brought up in the deep south of the United States, which the American audience will understand very, very clearly. But the interesting thing is that the deep south has its own culture, right? Like America, you think has a culture, but realistically, it's regional. And the deep south has a very strong culture, and it maintains that till today. I'm back in Texas, and I feel like I'm back at home. And I started to realize that a lot of deep southern values are very Islamic from the core. Like the way I was brought up with the number one thing that I was brought up with was respect. That you respect your elders, you respect people who are higher than you, you respect your parents. You say yes sir, yes ma'am, no sir, no ma'am. You don't talk back to people. You know, these are just certain values I was instilled with. I was instilled with that men are the caretakers of the home. They're supposed to have, you know, these attributes of manliness and protectiveness, and women are supposed to have gentleness and kindness and softness and et cetera. So a lot of these things I didn't have to like inherit as becoming a Muslim and learn them. They were just kind of ingrained in me already. But as Abu Ahmed was talking about, one of the things that because I'm not the sheikh on the show, we have Abu Ahmed for that. I'm the logical individual that tries to break things down. When I look at my children, I have two sons and a daughter, and you have to raise them differently. You can't raise your boys and your girls exactly the same. You know, when I look at what boys are missing in today's world and try to instill that into my sons, you know, when it terms of, you know, realizing that the world is going to be a hard place for them. The world is a hard place on men, you know, so they need to learn toughness. They need to learn how to take care of themselves, how to cook for themselves, clean for themselves. Like, you know, I try to teach all my boys how to be self-sufficient so that, you know, when you get married, that only enhances your life. You're not getting married because you need another mommy. With my daughter, you know, a lot of, you know, we see it a lot these days that women are suffering from self-esteem issues. They're suffering. We see it on social media. They're suffering from self-esteem issues and insecurity. So I've tried to instill in my daughter that love and constant affirmation of how great she is, how amazing she is, how smart she is, how beautiful she is. So she doesn't go needing to find that from someone else in society. But the logic I've always tried to give to parents is relating it back to Islam, because I don't want to just be sitting here talking nonsense, is I try to tell parents, and I've said this a lot in my lectures, that we need to, number one, teach our children to have a healthy respect, love, and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do we do that? That starts with us. Their relationship with Allah is going to be grounded in their relationship with us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one whom they worship, who they can't see, right? But they see us every single day. So if you can teach your children how to have a healthy love and fear of you at the same time, like they know you love them to death, but they also know that if you cross certain lines and certain boundaries, that there are certain repercussions behind it. My children all know this. Like they all know I love them to death, but even my wife tells me like they are afraid of you. You know what I mean? And I've never once disciplined my children with spanking, hitting, never had to. It's just the fact that they know that if they cross certain lines, there's going to be certain serious repercussions.
But that goes and back then to respect. I think that's respect, Yusha. They respect you that much.
Yeah.
So it's not really
they learn to respect. And then I tell them the same way you have that love, fear, and respect for me, above that, you should have love, fear, and respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to learn to balance that. Yeah. They have to respect you. They have to. You can be their friend, but you always have to remind them that you're the parent.
Yeah, but don't forget that happens in every household. Like when the father comes home, there's sort of this sense of the children. It's like, okay, I have to take it easy now. With the mother, she's more soft, loving, caring.
Yeah.
The father has that stance.
And so, children tend to take advantage of the mother's tenderness.
Yeah,
I'd say.
definitely. And that's
they do. Except in my house, I get chastised by my wife because she, for my daughter, has to be the disciplinary, because I don't discipline my daughter too much because she can't handle it for me. It's like when I discipline her, it's like the end of the world. Like she thinks the whole world is crumbling down and she cries until I fix it.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm very worried of, you know, about teaching that, because we know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that towards the end of days, that parents would give birth to their masters. You know what I mean? Like the children would become the masters.
Yeah.
And we see that now. We see it in today's world. I see it all the time, especially on social media and in public. Children who treat their parents like they are the owner and the parent is the slave. And that is what we see from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
100%.
So what, like, if, and I'd say I pose this question to both of you, what are some of the strategies that you can share that, you know, we can, you know, build on that? And also, we don't actually rely on technology to teach our children, but obviously the parents teaching the child these sort of core and fundamental values.
Look, I personally think that's got to do with age and understanding and wisdom. You know, the older you get, different strategies. For instance, going back to my oldest two, Ahmed and Bilal, we had, you know, I was still very young, not very mature, and I can admit that now, where the strategy with the last three that are living at home now is totally different. You know what I mean? What I use now, when I find that very beneficial, where just, you know, me dropping off my children to school, I may have a discussion with my oldest daughter that who gets dropped off first. So I have a discussion with her. The one in the back is listening, obviously. Then he swaps, sits in the front, and I have a discussion about him. Classic example, he saw a dog on the street, and he goes, oh, that's a canine. And I was sort of taken back. Child in this day and age, calling a dog a canine, I found that fascinating. I said, Dad, how come you're calling that a canine? Where do you get this word from? Do you understand what a canine is? He goes, yeah, it's a dog. My head, I need to teach him a little bit more. I go, are you sure that's the only animal that is a canine? Is there other animals that are canines?
Of course, there's different
wolves,
breeds.
Coyotes, this, that, whatever it may be. So I sat down, as you're saying, technology time, discussing, letting him sort of look up to you because you're educating him. Not that I'm saying it, but we're watching now something that I taught him. You know what I mean? And that one-on-one time, I think, is crucial. Crucial.
Yeah, of course.
For, you know, the upbringing of the children. I had a discussion with my daughter yesterday. My wife's like, oh, she... You know, she came back and acted a little bit different in something. Did you talk to her? And I said, yes, I did have a, you know, a firm word, as you said, no beating, no what do you call it, but, you know, a stronger approach to an opinion that I had. And she took that on board. You know what I mean? And that's going back to roles and, you know, you and your wife having, you know, you have to work together on this. You can't both be tough and you can't be both be soft. You know what I mean? Yeah, and you can't work against each other, which is a big, big problem in marriages where the husband and wife aren't seeing eye to eye. Each one pushes their own agenda, and that's a big, big problem.
Yeah,
you have to be working together for the benefit.
You have to be on the same page.
Correct.
Yeah, that's one big part of it that Abu Ahmed just mentioned, is that the parenting begins with the husband and wife being on the same page. If you guys are not on the same page, you're going to have a problem, and you're going to find children that manipulate that, and they will manipulate that. But one thing I found very, very beneficial is, number one, you need to instilling your children the understanding that they can come to you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, you need they need to be able to come to you with anything. You know what I mean? With knowing that you're not going to automatically, you know, jump to conclusions or automatically punish them for every little thing they do. They need to know that they can come to you with the most crazy things they've done, the most crazy ideas they have, and that you are actually going to listen and sit and try to talk to them. Because if they don't talk to you, they will be talking to someone else. And someone else will be giving them advice. That's something I try to tell a lot of parents. And I've talked to so many people in my counseling sessions now that don't go to their parents for anything. Like, they're afraid to go to their parents. And that is a huge, huge problem.
That's our biggest battle, the influence of the outside. Because, you know, when they're going to school for 7 hours,
somebody's going to teach your kids.
100%.
If you don't let them think that they can trust you, they'll find somebody else to trust.
1,000%. And generally, they will take their friend over the parent because, you know, the parent aren't giving them fun and, you know, they just want to have fun and have a good time. We come home and say, hey, take it easy, calm down.
So with parents that want to adopt this, and let's just say they have almost a zero no foundation in regards to building this sort of trust with their child or their children, like, what are some of the strategies that you would recommend to start that, whether it's a father or a mother? You know, I realize that if it's a mother and daughter, there's a connection there that's closer. But obviously, there is always that connection between daddy and daughter. But how do you progress on that?
You have to, number one, find common ground. You know what I mean? You find common ground with them, common interests, things that you can relate to, things that you might not even necessarily be interested in, but you find interest in it because it's a common ground that you can find with your child. It's the same way like a husband and a wife. We have to find common interests that we like in each other. There's certain things my wife likes to do that I do with her. I don't necessarily tremendously like them, but she likes them, so I like them, and so we do them together, and vice versa. Like with my children, for those of you who've watched me long enough, you know, I started the whole gaming Muslim Gamers League during the pandemic because I'm an old school video gamer. I'm sure Abu Ahmed is as well. Like, we grew up playing Atari, Nintendo, all of this. Yeah. So that's been kind of an end to my children is playing games with them and being involved in this. Because one thing I would say about technology, and this is where I differ just a little bit in some methodologies that I've heard, where it's like, no, keep your children away from technology. And I'm like, if you keep your children away from all technology, you're not setting them up for the world they're going to live in. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, they are not growing up in the world we grew up in, where technology was not necessary. We could live without it. They are living in a world where technology is going to rule every part of their world. And if you don't teach them how to properly navigate it, use it to their advantage, know the pitfalls, teach them about these things, then they're going to find themselves very lost. Just like, you know, with schooling and writing, you know, my wife wants our daughter to learn how to write in cursive. And I'm like, don't push that as much as typing, because I've almost forgotten how to write in cursive. What do we write anything for anymore?
Yeah.
So you have to find common ground with your children. And the advice I give to parents is raise your children for the world they're growing up in, not the world you grew up in. Because that generation, when the what they call it, the dot-com age, when that happened, the whole world changed. And those of us who were raised in the pre-dot-com era, we cannot raise our children like that. We have to raise them for the world they're growing 100%. Up in. So you need to know about these things. Yeah, you need to know about social media. You need to know about all of these apps and all of these programs, because if not, your children know about them. And if you're not knowing, then you're gonna be lost.
Yeah, I guess just setting limitations for that. I guess with social media and just being on technology, just setting limits. When do we actually turn off so we can have a normal life? You know, many people, like, you know, we gather together and everyone's on the phone. But if we're away from each other, as we know, we'll actually be on WhatsApp together and talking. But when we're face to face, we don't speak.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world. Yep. Like, you know, again, setting limitations. When do we have to be normal as humans? And when do we need that technology to benefit and do whatnot?
Learning all these security things, like all my kids, I have security, an app on their phone set where I have full control and full access to their phone. I know everything they do. I know every app they use. I know how much time they spend on it. I can put limitations. I know every website they go on. I can put restrictions. Like, all of this is super important.
Yeah. I like that. That's the way you treat things. But other people may say you're too controlling. Again, from parent to parent, this is going to differ, but that's where people make mistakes. So, like, they'll let their children go a little bit too far.
Yeah, that's right.
There's this whole new concept, and I find it, I saw it on the news the other day, and I find it the craziest thing ever, which is just called free basing your kids, basically letting them do whatever they want. This is a new thing that's coming up. Like, let them just do whatever. Let them choose what they want to eat, what they want to drink, when they want to go to sleep, what they want to wear. That is, I'm just like, what?
I think there's a school like that here. They said it actually won some awards or something in Australia. I forgot which one it is.
Of course they did.
Yeah, they dress with no uniform. They'll come in and they just basically learn whatever they want to learn. So if someone just wants to cook or sew or do whatever it is, it doesn't have to be technology-based or educational-based in the essence of the old type of education that we used to learn.
But see, with that sort of education, like, regardless whether they mean well or not, but then they'll tend to lose the focus of what, for example, Yushet was bringing up. When he was brought up, and I'll use you as an example because you made mention of it, what was instilled into you when you came across to Islam is a respect for elders and other things. You know, for example, you know, you see someone walking in, you might, you know, hold the door
open. You go get the door first, you hold the door.
100%, things like that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, this doesn't teach them that, but 99% of the time, they won't have that instilled in them because, you know, there was no one there for them to teach them these sort of core values.
Yeah, but don't forget we had teachers teaching us back then. For instance, again, different worlds, different eras, all this sort of stuff. I still remember Mr. Coombs in grade 3 for me. He used to give us something called the wallop, right? The wallop was he grabbed your hair and he would wallop your head like this. Right, we used to know the cane.
We had a big paddle. There was a long, big old paddle, wooden paddle in the school when I grew up.
Yeah, like yesterday on the news, they showed one. What do you call it? You know, the prisons for juveniles. Okay, there's one of them in Sydney or around Australia, whatever it is. There's only 10 inmates at the moment who are underage. The guards fearing these children. They're children still, right? You got grown adults that are getting beaten up by children. This in our day, you should. Imagine a child beating up a police officer. This was unheard of. You'd get a kick up the rear. It was literally.
Never.
Again, different eras, different ages, different things happening. Now,
We live in a different society.
That's
when, you used to get pulled over, like, let's say you were doing something stupid as a kid, right? Like toilet papering a house or, you know, stupid things you get. You weren't as afraid of the police officer as you were when the police officer said, I'm going to call your parents to come pick you up.
Yes, correct.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Now it's come completely reversed. You know, there's no fear for the parents, but we're fear for these authority figures. Like, that's just, it's just crazy. But one thing your kids cannot live without, and this is, goes back to our deen as well, is structure. You must teach your children structure.
1000%.
Our religion is based upon structure. Sure. If you don't teach your children structure and just let them do whatever the hell they want to do, then you're going to try to, when they become 10 years old, oh, now you need to pray 5 times a day. You need to make, we'll do it this time. You need to fast this way. You need to, it's not going to work. You have to teach them structure from an early age.
Sure.
And I think it comes back down to like what I was initially saying is that you teach them young and, you know, as they grow older, it's kind of like you're adding on sort of the, you know, the additions, like when you were making mention of, you know, from the age of 7, teaching them how to pray, and then you reinforce it at the age of 10 and things like that. And then, you know, you add on additional things or additional pillars and other things as well. You know, it is very important to get them to start from an early age. I think them starting at a later age, it's important to have what you were talking about before, Brother Yusha, is, you know, active listening and open dialogues, you know, and getting them to understand on their level so that way they can, you know, they can start instilling this information.
You have to figure out what works with your children. You know what I mean? Like there has to be structure and there has to be, you know, encouragement. There also has to be repercussions. You know what I mean? Like Abu Ahmed, like for us, when we were growing up, the repercussion was the wallop or the stick. Why? Because there was nothing to take away from us. The only thing my parents could take away from me was the freedom to go outside. You know what I mean? I would get grounded. Now we can't even get our parents to go, our kids to go outside.
Yeah.
So what do we have? We have these things. Like for me, it's technology. If you do such and such, you lose your access to your computer. You lose your access to the internet. You lose your access to your phone or your iPad or whatever. Yeah, telling them to go outside or telling them to go outside, that's a punishment now. Get out of the house. They're like, why? What did I do?
And I guess another problem is also each child is different. So what may work for the first may not work for the second or third. Every child's different. Everyone has, you know, different sort of temper and you know what I mean? Each one learns different. Some are smart. Each, like, you know, when they say, you know, your fingers are not all the same size, that is exactly the same thing with your children.
Yeah. You may have one child that is very confident, the other child gets peer pressured and bullied, for example.
Yeah, definitely.
And these are some of the things that, you know, as a parent, you also almost share and face with the child, in, you know, to build that self-confidence and also to protect your child and other things as well. If you do experience your child having these sort of issues like peer pressure or external influences and other things, I'm not sure if yourselves, you know, you've experienced that with your child or anything like that. But if you have, or if you have heard of that in the community, what are some ways that, you know, that you know, the child can actually build that sort of confidence?
For us, I think it's a bit different. So he counsels, I counsel. So we may have the tools, but other parents aren't going to have the tools because this segment is more for the viewer.
Right.
Don't be scared into bringing someone in. For instance, you know, you've got an imam, you've got a close friend, there's a professional. Sometimes you might make the wrong decision for your child, you know, without you seeking that knowledge, because you could be ignorant from this. You know, if your child's being bullied, how do you lift their confidence? You with me?
Yeah.
And that depends, again, going child to child. I might say something now that may not work for that child. So it's an individual case by case.
Don't be afraid to ask for help. There are plenty of times I wish there was, like, raising, like Abu Ahmed said, raising my first, who was 17. I had him when I was 26 years old. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't really have, you know, a great role model in my parents. But so I learned along the way, but I wish there was more outlets like there
definitely,
are now
definitely.
To reach out to get help. Like I have a lot of counseling sessions now where I have parents bringing me their children, you know, to try to help them with certain issues because they're like, I don't know what to do. And that's where it is. If you realize that you are in over your head, then get somebody to get some help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. It is not a failure as a parent to ask for help. That's actually a strong position. It's a sign of strength that you're willing to acknowledge the fact that you're in over your head and you need some help.
And a lot of children will accept from other than their parents.
Yeah, that's right. Like you might say the same thing as a parent, but because this person said it in the exact same way, but because he said it, they'll accept
that's
it
right.
from them.
We had an example because we do a lot of children activities in our musalla. One of our imams spoke to, I think he's a 15 or 16-year-old kid who didn't pray. The parents tried their best. We got a message back to say, may Allah reward the person who spoke to my son. Now he's starting to pray. Like it took another person apart from the parents to sort of encourage him. And now he's praying, alhamdulillah. So again, going to different activities, going to the masjid, taking to these programs is another way of helping your child develop as well. And that's crucial.
Well, one thing, and it's good you've made mention of the age there, is as they get older, they obviously, you know, I have a thing with my daughter, she's 16, but I say that she's 16 turning 25. And what I mean by that is that she thinks that that's it. She knows everything, you know, everything there is to know about the world.
Different strategy, mister. You need to take different
and things
strategies.
Like that. So one, like the reason why I'm bringing this up is because obviously as they get older, they become more, you know, more independent.
Independent, right.
Yeah, if you want to say that. So given, you know, the proper strategies to teenagers gets a lot more difficult than raising them as a seven-year-old child sort
definitely,
of thing.
Definitely.
Giving them the independence that they deserve, but at the same time, providing them with the right, you know, values, with the right education, coming from an Islamic point of view, and giving them the, you know, something as simple as, you know, charity, for example, or something as simple as, you know, ensuring that they pray, as you made mention of. How can we maintain that sort of things to be instilled in our children as they get older?
Look, for my strategy with my own children, it's more now I have to try to befriend them. I sort of take a step back.
Yeah.
Then I keep reminding, I'm not going to just go mute. You have to pray, get up, don't forget the time. Like you find yourself like a parrot. You're always talking over
Correct.
And over and over and over again, but you
yeah,
have
like
to be persistent
record.
Because
right.
in this day and age with the children, they're very fragile. You push too much, you force, you've broken them. They can take off. And how many people are missing? You always see it on Facebook and other social media. Police are saying, have you seen so-and-so? Have you seen so-and-so? A lot of them are who? Muslim children.
Correct.
Us living in this time where the sensitivity, they're less fear. Like, for instance, back in our days, many people would not run away from home because if you run away from home, when you get back home, what's going to happen?
You're going to cop it.
You're going to cop it, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. We had a different... Now it's like, you can't touch me. You can't do anything to me. Don't raise your voice at me. Who are you? Who do you think you are? This is just the way the mentality is. Unfortunately, this is how it is. You know, society has given children more freedom in terms of no one's allowed to say anything. Discipline is very minute. And this is how society has... Like, this is how society is. So befriending your child at the age of 15, 16, 17... will be better for you in terms of just getting them to trust you more. Let's just say they're doing something wrong. Instead of them doing it behind your back, hope that they can come to you and say, listen, I'm doing X, Y, Z, you know, how do I fix it? Or that you know they have a support that they can go speak to.
Yeah, correct. And I think it's important what Brother Yusha was mentioning in terms of find common ground to befriend them so that way they can confide in you. I mean, it's difficult, for example, if a father or a mother, you know, doesn't spend any time with a child and then expect them to, you know, all of a sudden share, you know, their hopes and dreams and visions for the next 5 years, or whether they see themselves in 5 years' time, or this is what I want to do, this is what I'm feeling, or whatever it is. Like, it's difficult to have these conversations as a child to a parent if they never shared that during their initial, you know, teenage years or whatever it is.
It's like any other relationship. You get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah, that's
Something
right.
That. You can't just expect it by default.
100%.
Our kids aren't raised in that society anymore. Before, like when we were being raised, especially myself, Abu Ahmed, the society taught us, instilled in us to have respect for our parents, love for our parents, listen to our parents. Schools taught us that. Like,
correct.
Now the society teaches them the complete opposite. 100%. So you can't expect it just to be there by default without cultivating it.
Yeah, true. And you heard me how many times say when I went to Texas how I enjoyed the environment because of that sense of respect for others. Thank you, sir. People hold the door open. You know, going back to the point of, you know, you've eaten on a public table. Everyone cleans up after. What do we see here?
Yeah, no, they just leave it for the actual waiter or waitress to clean them up after them. See, it comes back down to the community itself surrounding, whether it's Muslim or not.
Yeah. So even this advice from country to country may vary as well. Like, it's very hard to sort of navigate.
As a parent, how would or can you rely on the surrounding community to reinforce these sort of values? So, for example, you know, when you were talking about Texas, for example, how, you know, people clean up after them and things like that. You know, for example, this sort of stuff in terms of, you know, respect for the next person sort of thing, you know that sort of things they're thinking of others, subliminally, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
But obviously we don't have that in Australia. So would you say in a form of overall sense, can we rely on the community to teach some sort of value based on the effects of, like, say, schools that are, you were saying, freebasing, I think you were saying? Was that the right word to
use?
So let's just say, for example, we were to do that. Like, how would you or can you rely on the surrounding community to teach this sort of respect if the respect isn't there.
But again, going contrary, would you allow this society to teach your
Definitely
child?
Definitely not, no.
That's the thing. And it depends on the society. And, you know, if you have good in a society, alhamdulillah, but if there's bad in a society, you have to make sure that you're there teaching them from such a young age.
So we'll come back down to say, you know, going to the masjid more, you know, being around people that can also provide, you know, some sort of character building in the children as well, in respect. Would that be, you know, something to think about?
Look, go back to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalili," that the person is upon the religion of his friend, right? Mm-hmm. So this society, these friends, they're the ones that bring up. And basically, he's saying that, you know, even to the point of the religion aspect, you know what I mean? They can guide them or misguide them with me. So it's just as crucial. We can't bubble up our children. We can't keep them around cotton wool, as Brother Yushat mentioned earlier on. You know what I mean? Because once they leave that household or the nest and they fly off and live their own life, they're going to make major, major mistakes.
Correct, correct. And I think it's important that you mentioned with regards to the bubbles, because obviously we all just got out of, you know, a hybrid or a hibernation of corona. So and obviously our children got adapted to, say, technology more and things like that. So how can we re-emphasize Islamic education into our children, you know, on the basis of that sort of things? Like whether it's going out more into the Islamic environment, or would it be more in terms of, you know, using technology for Islamic education? What are some of the things or some ways to do that?
Well, when it comes to technology, that's one area. But the first thing you have to do is be the example. Your children will follow your example more than they'll follow anything you teach them. That's just the way their fitrah is. You know what I mean? Like, if you want your children to do certain acts, then you need to be doing those acts yourself. Like, if you want your children to pray, they need to see you praying. If you want your children to read the Quran, they need to see you reading the Quran. You want your children to have good manners, they need to see you having good manners, etc., so on and so forth. Like, if you want to teach your sons how to be good husbands, be a good husband and let them see that towards your wife. The same vice versa. Like, for my daughter, I'm trying to set a standard for her that if a man comes into her life to try to get married to her, he's going to have to try to excel the standard that I've already set, etc. But when it comes to technology, we do have the capability. You know, it's the funny thing is that we have more access to Islamic information than has ever been on the planet Earth. But yet we have the most ignorant Muslims on the planet Earth that has existed in any time throughout history. It's very strange. So we need to use technology in a way that, you know, also helps our children learn. Like, you know, my daughter takes Quran Hifz and Arabic class from a teacher in Egypt. You know what I mean? Every day she absolutely loves her teacher. They're like best friends now. You know, so you use these technologies in a way that benefits them. You know, so she knows, like, hey, this computer I built for you is not just to sit here and play Roblox and, you know, whatever on all day long. It's also for learning. It's also for learning the religion. It's also for learning Arabic. It's also for learning the Quran, etc. So you have to find that balance to where kids are not just enjoying technology. They get something from it, but you're not going to beat them with anything better than the examples that you show them.
I think it comes back down to the hunger and the search for knowledge that, you know, one person had back in the days versus what we have now. I mean, that hunger or that thirst or that yearning for that knowledge is no longer there.
Look, whether we're talking about religion or not religion, I think the understanding of let your children be children now, let them just take it easy. Once they get married, 20, 25, whatever it is, let them start working hard there. You know, I heard something the other day which is very crucial. The opposite should happen. Because now that you're getting a bit older, Brother Yushat, you're getting a bit older, it's harder for us to maintain, to keep up and all this sort of stuff.
Correct.
So imagine we worked harder when we were young so that we can rest at an older age. And that's crucial. And that's one thing I want to instill into parents. And if any children are listening, work hard while you're young, because you're young and fit. You're able. Yeah. Like, you know, Brother Yushat, you mentioned before, you know, you're getting a bit tired now. You know what I mean? You need to hit the sack early, you go to bed and all this sort of stuff. You get tired. We need our youth to work hard. Why they're young? Let them instill, get the knowledge now. Whichever, dunya, religion, whatever it may be, work hard now. Why not rest at the age of 30, 35 instead of doing it, you know, retiring now? The age of retirement now in Australia is what?
I think 65 or 70.
Go to 70, and also they're trying to push, depending on what you got. You know, how, imagine working to 75, man, seriously.
Pretty soon, the retirement age will be higher than life expectancy.
Exactly, death.
You just work till you die.
Yeah. And that.
That's pretty much what they're saying.
You know, again, I'm hitting 50 next year. I'm getting tired. You see me before, go back 10 years when we're traveling. I was in front of everyone now going up, remember the stairs in Lebanon? My hips locked up. I couldn't move. It was freezing. I go, Ahmed, I can't do this anymore.
When I first had my first son, I was 26 years old. I was teaching martial arts at the time. I had nothing but nonstop energy. Like I also helped him because his mother was having a rough from the pregnancy. So I was working 80 hours a week. I worked out like 9 hours a day because I taught one class after another, after another, after another. I did that for 6 days a week. I took care of him. Like I had nonstop energy. Now I still get up 5:30 in the morning, but by like 8, 9 o'clock at night, I'm like, I'm fading. And it's before it used to be kind of like a gradual get tired. Now it's just like you get to this certain cliff and it's just it. I'm not good for anything after a certain point.
So really, in reality, if we could get our children to work harder now and explain that to them, and this is always my discussion with my youngest, it's like, work hard now, work hard now. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that. Like, really, if you sit on a game all day, what are you going to benefit from?
Correct.
You know what I mean? If you're reading something, learning something, working, doing, saving some money, doing whatever it is, invest, buy, sell. Like, alhamdulillah, my son Yunus, tabarakallah, he started on his own. He'll buy something, sell it, make money. Wallah, I'm so proud of him. You know what I mean? It's a good thing. This learning of tijara and other things opens up their brains, their minds, you know, their future.
Yeah, that's right.
But if he's going to be just a normal 16-year-old playing soccer all day or whatever it is, just bumming out with the kids and stuff like that, there's no real benefit. Let them have their fun. We're not saying don't just cut all that off. No. But a bit of time for this and a lot of time for that. So later, they can rest.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you both for, you know, coming on online, inshallah. I think it's good if we encourage the viewers that watch this podcast to share their thoughts. You know, in the
leave their
section.
Comments. Leave comments below what you found as good advice, because you might have another parent that come on here that's looking for advice, and you can give something down below in the comments.
Correct, or even areas that that they wish for us to discuss as well. I think it's important as well, inshallah.
Or future topics they'd like to see discussed.
Correct, not only that, inshallah. I think we're starting our tours soon. I know you're in the UK, Brother Yushet.
Starting on next Saturday.
Yeah, inshallah. So I'm there a little bit late, but I'm sure we're going to head off to Texas and the US and start doing a few conferences and other things.
We're going to start hitting the road here in the States. Yep.
Inshallah.
So inshallah, we encourage that, inshallah.
And then we're going to be going to Lebanon as well. Then from Winter Appeal, we're going to be somewhere. We're going to be all over the place. Where in the world are we next? That's going to be the podcast.
Yeah, I think for Winter Appeal, I think one of the new countries we're entering is Pakistan as well, correct?
We're trying to. Yep, we're working on getting into Pakistan, inshallah, for this Winter Appeal, which I think is going to be a good venture, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you both. Thank you very much for coming on online. It's always a pleasure to have you both. I look forward to the next podcast, inshallah. So this way, we can make sure we see more of each other, inshallah.
And before we leave, Abu Ahmed, you want to leave us with one parting advice that you would give for parents? Because we've talked about all kinds of things. What is one sum up sentence you would give to advice to parents?
If I was to use one word, wisdom. Use your wisdom. Because, again, I just came out of a counseling session of two people breaking up. And the lady, she left and she said one word to me. She goes, you're very patient. I became patient because of wisdom. Use your mindset. Look at the situation. Analyze it. What's the best thing for that? For instance, if you're just screaming at a child or sending into a certain way, what's the benefit for that child? Just wisdom. Use your wisdom. Mm-hmm. Use your knowledge. You know what I mean? Growing up, use it. The mistakes you made, use the wisdom. And that's one benefit that we have, inshallah. So just to simplify things, wisdom, just keep that wisdom, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Danun, but what about you? What would be your parting words of wisdom?
I think patience and, you know, befriending. I think it's, you know, it's very important, especially with, for example, my older daughter. I found that I need to, you know, connect with her more. And alhamdulillah, that's working great. It's more them, you know, it's more us being their friend as opposed to their, you know, their dictator father, if you want to say that. And they tend to relate to you more and befriend you more and confide in you more by you listening to them more. I think, you know, active listening and just conversations is very, very important, regardless of the child's age, but as they get older, that becomes more crucial and 100%. Critical. 100%. And my advice would be to
leave them, prepare your children for the world that they're growing up in, and prepare them for a time when you will not be there anymore.
1,000%. That's very, very important, truly. Yeah.
If we all live to old age, one day our children will have to live without us. So they got to be ready for that.
You don't want that mentality that is in the back of your mind thinking you need to technically live forever because your child won't be able to live in this world without you, sort of thing. You want to give them that sort of independence.
You look at yourself, you look at your parents, how many things have you picked up from your mother and father?
Yeah.
I guarantee you think, oh, my mum would do something, my father would do something, I've got their mentality.
Yeah.
Some people, like the way, you know, if they've got OCD or the way they clean, cook, do whatever it is, it comes from the family.
Thank you once again, inshallah. And we thank the audience, inshallah, for taking their time to watching this podcast about raising children in Islam, inshallah, and the community in general. Till next time, we look forward to having you on the Al Hussein podcast in future, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brother Yusha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Abu Ahmed, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.